Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 coming to you from the beautiful Cambridge offices here near Boston, Massachusetts, talking all things data science. I'm here with a special guest. Tell us who you are and what you do, bud.
My name is Ki Huang. I'm a data scientist on TOS team. Today is my first anniversary working in Microsoft.
Fantastic.
So,
congratulations. I know. They still let me work here sometimes. We'll see if that ends anytime soon, hopefully not. So let's talk about some of the stuff that you've been working on so that we can get a feel for users is what you're going to talk about. Tell us about your research.
Yeah, so mainly my research is about user profiling. So basically, what is user profiling? User profiling is a technique used to extract personalized information from data, of course, right? Mm-hmm. And then to build a unique user profile for each individual users. Mm-hmm. And then why we need to do this? Because we want to use this user profile to identify users' preferences, interests, intents, and behavioral patterns. So by doing this, we can better understand the user and provide a better service to customers or users.
I see. So in essence, what we're trying to do is we're trying to learn as much about who comes to our software so that we can provide them better services, better experience, better overall sort of feel for the software. Is that right?
Yes.
So how do we start to do that? Because it feels like you need to either get certain kind of data or use the data that you have in order to build this stuff up. So what techniques do you suggest for developers to get this sort of going?
Well, exactly. So actually, there are two challenges. The first challenge is that the content of the user profile varies from one application to another. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. For most of the retail use cases, the profile content should be like what kind of products this user likes or dislikes, and what's the most recently product the user browsed or searched, right? Mm-hmm. And in another case, for instance, the ticket sales. So the profiling content could be the user's behavior patterns. Mm-hmm. Also including how to purchase the ticket, right? Mm-hmm. And how likely this user is going to participate or attend a specific event.
Sure.
Yeah. So another challenge is a data source. Mm-hmm. So different applications have different data sources, right? Because we want to get this profile from the raw data source. And then in the previous use case, the retail case, mm-hmm. the data source may be just including the historical web browsing history, mm-hmm. or the current web page visiting history,
right?
And for the sales use case, well, the data source may be including, of course, the user's demographic information, also the event itself, mm-hmm. what kind of event and what's the attendance rate, etc.
I see. Right?
So a more general approach is to learn from the data, of course, right? So most of the data or information we can directly get from the raw data set. Mm-hmm. For instance, the demographic and the browsing history, we can get it directly from the data source, right? Mm-hmm. But most of the other part is that we cannot directly get it from the data source. I'll give you another example.
Okay.
Say, about the driving tailgate, right? Say we have some kind of device to monitor the car. We have accelerometer. We have the ODB, mm-hmm. to monitor the speed, the RPM, the when the user brakes or accelerates, right? Mm-hmm. So how to get the information like whether this user is tailgating or not, mm-hmm. right? So we cannot directly get this kind of information. But if you think it deeply, well, if he's a tailgating driver, maybe there are a lot of heartbreak because it's too close to the previous car. So you can see there's a heartbreak, maybe hard accelerations. So we can monitor or get that information from the data source, but we have to do it using some techniques like further learning or inference or statistics.
I see. So you may have a lot of data about your users, but the data that you want to know about your users, you have to derive from what you have somehow.
Yes, exactly.
I see.
Yeah,
so So what would be the process of, you have this data, and what would be a process to learn insight about your users given the data that you have?
Well, one most important thing is experience.
Sure.
Right? So you have to deal with users. It's human, right? So the first thing is understand the human, mm-hmm. like the tailgating. If you want to get this information, you have to think, okay, what we can do by using this raw data and extract the information I want, mm-hmm. right? Another thing is understand the business problem. For instance, by saying the ticket sales use case, you have to understand how this business runs. Mm-hmm. And then you can, you know, you will know what kind of information I can get, right? Maybe, you know, there are a lot of useful information you cannot derive from the raw data.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. So what is a process? Is there like something, like you talked about a question, you talked about the data that you have, you talked about the sort of how you can use inference, but is there a process that you go through as a data scientist to actually create value out of the data that you have for users?
Yeah. So usually what I do is I get the data, right? Mm-hmm. And then I get some data insights. Like I see, I have a target or objective, like whether it is tailgating or not, right? Mm-hmm. And then we see whether there are some correlations between the data we have and the target.
Okay.
To see that. If there's no, you know, obvious correlation, then we may need to think a little bit, like extract some other information. Usually we call it feature engineering,
mm-hmm.
to generate more features or more information. And then that information more have strong correlation between the data we have and the target.
I see. So the first thing is you have to have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have that question, you look at your data to see if the answer is in there.
Yeah.
And generally it's not. And so what you have to
do is you have
to find the correlation between some of the features or the columns in your database and mm-hmm. the desired thing that you want.
Yeah. So in order to do that, we have to understand the users and, of course, understand the business problem.
Sure.
Yeah.
So once you sort of found the correlation, are there certain models that you would use? Like, I'm trying to understand, like, because right now it's a little squishy because we're talking in generalities. We did have a good example about the car,
mm-hmm.
but is there a good example of something that you worked on that you can sort of demonstrate how this process went about for you?
Yeah, sure. So one of the projects I worked on is to predict whether a customer is going to purchase a car insurance.
Okay.
So there is a company which is insurance pricing comparison website,
mm-hmm.
right? So basically, when a user log into the website, there are usually four steps. One is, you know, you have to put in the driver,
mm-hmm.
right? The driver information, okay? And then the second step is input your car information.
Mm-hmm.
And the third information step is quote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth steps is price. So the first step, you input your driver's information,
right.
and then the car information, and you your quote. And then the last steps, so here you will get information, the prices from different insurance vendors.
I see.
And you know, there's a few buttons, right? The list of price, and the user can click, okay, I want to buy from this insurer
sure.
companies. So we call it a click-through,
okay.
right? But all those four steps, the user does not necessarily to go over from one to four.
Okay.
So sometimes the user already have the driver information or the car information,
mm-hmm.
so he can directly go to step three
mm-hmm.
or directly go to step four.
But the assumption is that we only have this data for
yeah.
the user.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, so for each step, we may have a lot of browsing, web browsing histories.
Okay.
Okay. There's a few. So only this step, we can have that click button, right? I want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So by click that button, this company will lose the track of the
mm-hmm.
of the user because it's redirected to
sure.
insurance company's website, right? So by click that button, most of the user won't buy. It's just a call the company or like negotiating whether
sure.
I can get a lower price, right? So we see each button has only two outcomes. Either it doesn't buy or you buy it,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe he will click many buttons,
mm-hmm.
right? So of course, there is only one buy purchasing event. Mm-hmm. So maybe this one,
right?
So this is what we want to predict.
I see.
So how do we profile this user? Okay, so the first step is we have a question and
mm-hmm.
we want to predict whether this customer is going to purchase the car insurance or not.
Right.
And second, what kind of data we have, right? First of all, we have this driver's information. We have the car information. Of course, this is logged in the system.
Sure.
And also we have this kind of web browsing history, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we want to know whether there is correlation between this web browsing behavior to this real purchasing behavior.
I see.
Right? So first of all, we see the quote, because quote is directly correlated to the purchasing,
mm-hmm.
right? So we see whether how many quote this user done on this step three.
Okay.
If he's keeping modifying his quotes, that means he's more likely to purchase, right? If he just jumped from step one to step four, maybe he's just checking, okay, let's see whether I should change to another insurance company and get a lower price, right? So this is one step to
mm-hmm.
see the quote. And another one is we want to see how long the customer stays between these quote pages. And of course, how long this user spend the time on modify the car information or the driver information.
Interesting, because if they're taking really good care of putting in the right information, it might imply that they buy.
Yeah.
Got it.
And also another behavioral pattern is that usually when the user get a price, he did not click that buy button, right? Maybe he will go back to, you know, step three or go back to step two.
Right.
Yeah, if that's the case, that means, okay, the price now is high. I want to modify a little bit to see whether I can get a better price, right?
Right.
So that means that's another hint the user is going to purchasing the insurance.
I see.
Yeah. And this is the information we can directly derive from the raw data set. Another information is that like whether there is some temporal patterns. For instance, if I'm going to purchase a car insurance, it's more likely that my current policy is going to be expired.
Yeah.
Right? So I will check the historical privacy, pricing on, you know, quote information to see how long my current insurance is going to expire.
I see. Because you'll know the last time a quote was generated, and if it's a year later, it's likely that their quote, their insurance has expired and they need to renew.
Yeah.
Got it.
Another patterns we want to find out is that say most of user that's the information I get it from the website,
mm-hmm.
because they found that most of the users will purchase the insurance on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
weird.
Yeah, and on the beginning of every month, maybe that's a strong pattern. So we get that as a feature, like the
is it Monday?
Yeah, is it no? We just say it. Which workday user purchased in
mm-hmm.
the history,
I
and what's the most significant month the user purchased the insurance, right?
I see.
So that's another information.
So it feels like what you're doing is, I think as programmers, we often only look at the data that we have them put in, but we don't necessarily look at the behavior that they're having on top of our website. And I'm seeing that even though this is important, you are actually looking at sort of temporal aspects of what they're looking at. You're looking at temporal aspects of the steps that they're doing. And then you're getting a sense for, do those actions correlate with a purchase?
Yes.
I see. Is there like a standard methodology? Because I understand now what you're doing here, but it feels so specific to this use case. Are there some general principles that you would suggest that we could follow to get this kind of insight into our users?
Well, that's a hard question.
Yeah.
Because There's no one-size-fits-all approach. So just like I said, the general approach is that you have to specify your question, like your target, and then you will get as much data source as you can, right? And then you have to better understand the users like and the business problem. Like if you can find out that strong correlation between like Monday to the purchasing behavior and month to the purchasing behavior added, of course, right? And the other one is you have to try to learn something from the data to generate more features or more information to profile this user.
I see.
Like the tailgating example.
So it feels like you start with a sharp question. Mm-hmm. You have a question, is this driver going to buy insurance?
Yeah.
You look at the primary data, which is the stuff that you know you have.
Yep.
Which is this feels like the primary data to me.
Yes.
And then you look at the secondary or data that can be derived, for example.
Yes. Yes.
And the secondary data would be behaviors, right? Mm-hmm. Or, for example, the fact that someone just told you people really buy on Mondays for some reason. You put that in a day. So now you're looking at sort of the primary data, the derived data, and sort of the generated data that you have.
Yeah,
and you use all of that to do either prediction or clustering or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
I see. Yes. This is pretty impressive stuff. I mean, because we really don't think, we only think about the stuff that we have, and sometimes we don't think about the stuff that they do and the stuff that we can add in.
Yes.
And so that's pretty interesting.
So most of the cases, we just use the data we have and, you know, either classification or clustering or recommendation, right? But in most of the cases, we don't have the information we really need.
Right.
So we have to generate or derive it or learn it from the data.
I see.
Yeah.
This is awesome. So where can people go? Is there like a paper that you wrote on this where people can learn a little bit more?
Well, there are many papers. Just like I said, the different use applications may have different content, user profile content and data sources, right? So there are many papers browsing, the browsing behavior. So it's like how to design those icons or pages arrangement in the website.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one research. Another one is mostly retail website. To the profile user, so when every time you log into the Amazon, for instance, you will get recommendations, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing Amazon trying to profile you and recommend, okay, maybe you are more likely to purchase this kind of product because I learned from your history, I learned from your current search history, and then give you this kind of information. Right?
So this is good. This is awesome stuff. Hopefully we'll find some links together and put them down below. So anything to add further about profiling? Because I like the fact that when we think of profile, we think of like that data, that table that has just the user information.
Mm-hmm.
But I love how there you can add sort of secondary and sort of tertiary data that you generate to help with these profiling. Anything else you'd like to add?
One thing is that, let me see. I think it's kind of what kind of problem you really want to handle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll give you another example. Like,
let's draw it over here. That way people can
so
see.
So it's a ticket purchasing use case.
Sure.
So we deal with Trailblazers.
Okay.
We have a machine learning blog on the website. So the use case is that we want to purchase a predict whether a non-ticket holder is going to purchase the next season ticket package for Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of data we have, of course, right? The data. So we have the historical purchasing records, like what kind of ticket this customer purchased, and of course, where this customer purchased the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just from some agent, maybe it's online, maybe it's just an arena, right?
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is the user's interest. That's kind of information we learned from the data.
Sure.
Like whether this customer is a basketball fan or whether he's a football fan, baseball fan, this kind of thing, right? So, and we also have the probability that whether this user is a baseball fan or et cetera. So in that case, the use case is predict purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not just like whether it's not like this one, because you don't have the too much information, like, you know, the season ticket package is expensive. If this user purchased a lot in the in history, then of course he's more likely to purchase next season.
Sure.
But what if this user never purchased it?
Yeah, right? You don't know enough.
Yeah.
Feels like.
You don't know too much about the history. And then another insight is that we want to profile this user whether he's really a big fan recently.
Mm-hmm.
So how? So one thing is that we can check like how many games this customer attended.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the attendance rate. For instance, there are like 44 teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
In total. 44 games in total every year.
Mm-hmm.
In the preseason. And we see whether this customer attended most of the games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we did a simple math calculation, like if the package can give you 80% 20% discount, so that means you have to attend like at least 35 or 37
mm-hmm.
games, then you were worth it to purchase the season ticket package.
I see.
Right?
I see. And so it's kind of like that it's the same idea of whether you should rent the skis or buy the skis. If
mm-hmm.
you go enough time skiing, it becomes more probable that you're just going to buy the skis eventually because it's cheaper. And what you're doing is you're seeing 44 home games, and if they've last season attended more than half of them, the likelihood is that they will buy season tickets.
Yeah, because it's most worth it, right?
Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. So I can see how it's different than this one, but I still see that it's the same. You have a certain amount of data that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a certain amount of data that you can derive, and then you use that data to make predictions.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, this has been super helpful, my friend.
Yeah, by doing this, I think we nearly tripled the conversion rate for Trailblazers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so
if you're
able to do this with your own users, I mean, if you can triple sort of the click-through rate or the purchase rate or whatever success metric that you have by doing these kind of things, you definitely should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
We've been learning about how to use the data that you have on your users, how the data that you can derive for users to sort of create success metrics for you and your business. Thanks so much for watching. My name is Seth Juarez, Channel 9. We'll see you next time. Take care.